longer. And I thank God for Jesus on this month. Thank God for you tuning in. Please write your comments, your prayer requests. You can mail them. Now you can mail them to me. Hallelujah. And I'm excited about it. And I will answer back. Praise the Lord. Or I will, if you text me, I will answer back. Praise God. Maybe sometimes I may be a little busy and not get to it right away, but just now you can write me a line. I love reading, praise the Lord. And so write a comment or prayer request or just questions, praise the Lord. This is Telling of His Goodness Ministries, Evangelist Brenda Randall. And if you support the ministry, it will go for ministry. We do a lot of work, and amen, and try and help in need. Praise the Lord, whatever we can do. And God knows if you feel led of the Lord to send a little support or something. I appreciate that too. And God knows, I tell you one thing, we can't beat the Lord giving. The more we give, the more He gives back to it. I thank and praise Him for it. Sometimes it used to be hard for me to give, but now it's a joy to give. Praise the Lord, because I know as soon as I give it, now He's going to just give it back to me. Praise the Lord. And I don't give to really, you know, what He's able to do. He say He's able to bless us, praise Him exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Praise the Lord. I love you on this morning. It's been such a joy, such a privilege. It's hard to get in the message together because I was so excited about it, and seemed like I just couldn't wait to get it out. Praise the Lord. So I thank the Lord. Please continue tuning in Tuesday mornings at 11:45 KAYT FM 88.1. Amen. And we thank the Lord for the station. Father, we thank you. We praise you, God, for giving us the strength to go through. We thank you. We praise you. Give us all, God, everyone, whosoever will, God, the will and a mind to praise you no matter what situation, no matter what we may be going through, knowing that you are in control of every situation if we let you be. And we love you for it, and we thank you, we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank God, amen. And until next time, the Lord willing, be blessed, be inspired, be delivered, be set free, be thankful for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the best is yet to be. Praise Him, amen, thank God, amen. We thank you for tuning in to the Telling of His Goodness broadcast. We pray you were inspired, blessed, and encouraged from hearing the Word of God today. If you would like a copy of my book, Telling of His Goodness, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google Plus or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
A wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Oh.
hope for all I do.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh once again for this opportunity to hear your word. We thank you for the faithfulness of your people who made the sacrifice to be a part of this study. Meet us not only in this place, but in the text, and tailor the truth that we're teaching, that every hearer's heart might hear and understand what you are saying to us. So we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the people of God said, amen. 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 God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We're going to continue on with our study in the Word and understanding the purpose of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers, and what is important again is to understand how Jesus honored the person and the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in his own life and ministry. And I think it's so important to recognize that if Jesus, the Son of God, utilized the ministry of the Holy Ghost in the earth realm, how much more is it necessary that we utilize his presence and his power in our lives? To understand what God has for us, that comes by way of the Holy Spirit. He's been called many things, some accurately describing him and others inaccurately. He's not fire, he's like fire. He refines and purifies. He's not a bird, a dove. He was he came down in bodily form like a dove. He is the breath of God. He is the third person of the Godhead. He's not wind, he moves like wind. There are so many other things that we can say about the Holy Ghost that I think the greater importance is the more you know about him, the more you're going to understand why it is necessary for him to be a part of your life. Let me also throw out parenthetically that he's not a thing or an it or a force. He's a person. And we need to really recognize that, because when we talk about the Holy Ghost and our reference to him is usually, you know, it or a thing or a force, but he is a person. And again, you wouldn't like it if folk called you an it, a thing, you know, a force. You want to be known as a person. He has personality, intellect, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So one of the things that I think, again, is important is how we know him and learn him. And we see it best by looking at Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, and how he utilized the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, many of you may not have been here on last Wednesday when we started. Just want to do a little short recap. If you are writing notes, which I certainly recommend you do, you can take these scriptures down. We're not going to go through all of them. I just want you to have the reference to them. We start off dealing with all four gospel writers' account of Jesus being baptized of John in the Jordan and the Holy Ghost descending down upon him like a dove. We find it first in Matthew 3, 13 through 17. We find it in Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. We find it in Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. We find it in St. John chapter 1, verse 32. All four gospel accounts record and confirm this happening, that he was baptized of John in the Jordan. The Holy Spirit came down and descended upon him. And God spoke from the heavens, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." All right. And then we move backwards now to the Old Testament, where Isaiah gives us a great glimpse of him and the coming of the Messiah and the Holy Spirit utilizing him. Isaiah 11, 1 and 2 talks about a stem of Jesse and a branch or descendant of him. So we know that Jesus comes as a descendant of Jesse and all down through that David, all the rest of that line. And then in verse 2, it tells you that the Spirit was upon him, and it names six things. It says he has first the spirit of wisdom and understanding. The second thing is the spirit of counsel and might. The third is the spirit of knowledge and the fear of God. Now, he moves on in Isaiah 42 and 1, and he talks about how he will bring judgment to the Gentiles. Then in Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, it talks about the spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And then Isaiah names seven things in verses 1 and 2. And if you include verse 3, there are 10 things that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him to do. Now, let me say this. This was a twofold prophecy. It was a prophecy for Isaiah's time, but it was also a double prophecy speaking about Jesus Christ, the Messiah who would come. And you're going to see this where we left off last week. We're going to go back and revisit and tie that together. But what he does is he deals with what he has to do in the prophecy, and then he is still forecasting what Jesus will do when Jesus comes on the scene. But it all starts off with the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. Now, we go to Luke chapter 4, verse 17 through verse 21. I want my reader to read that for us, if you will.
Luke chapter 4, verse 17 through 21. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. Mm-hmm. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears."
Amen. All right. Now let's fast forward from Isaiah's time to Luke's recording of this. What is so important is Jesus uses, again, he comes into the synagogue, and usually in synagogues, they would give the visiting minister or priest or whoever was a high-ranking officer of the church, etc., the opportunity to read from the Word of God and to expound on it. Well, when Jesus came into the synagogue, they gave him that opportunity, and they delivered unto him the book of Isaiah. Then the Bible says he found the place in Isaiah where he read, and that's, of course, Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. He found that place. Now, there's a very important reason why he found that place. And just to help us understand very quickly, he found that place where it said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Me. And then in the end, verse 21, he tells them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So what he was telling them was, what Isaiah had prophesied about, I am the one that he was talking about. I am the one that he was looking to. And you have in your presence the very one that Isaiah previewed many years ago about my coming. And so it was amazing to the people that Jesus Christ himself was the Messiah. He was the one that was prophesied. They didn't get that connection until he made it clear to them that he was the one that they were talking about. Now let's go back into the scripture, because when it says, the Spirit of the Lord was upon me, or is upon me, that phrase meant that I am appointed to speak divinely to you. I am appointed to divinely speak to you. Or it means to be divinely inspired to speak. Both of those terms refer to Jesus. He was divinely appointed to speak, and he was divinely inspired to speak as well. What he was making clear was that the appointment that he had to divinely speak had come. It was his time now. He was on the scene, and he was going to do. What is also interesting about this is, because I told you it referred to Isaiah and to Jesus Christ, notice in verse 6, chapter 61, verse 1 and 2 of Isaiah, Jesus doesn't do everything that Isaiah does, but rather he goes through there and picks out all the things that references him. And that's according to his ministry. The rest of that was for Isaiah's ministry. And so when you begin to understand that, you'll understand that Jesus knew not only who he was, but he knew what his purpose was, and that he was there to fulfill that purpose in their presence. And what he spoke to them that day made it very clear that he was the prophesied Messiah. So again, when he said the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he's saying that God gave him a divine appointment to meet them. And then he spoke divinely as God gave him utterance to do so. Now, whenever the prophets used to say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, as Ezekiel said and others, that's exactly what they meant. They meant that they were either speaking by divine appointment or that they were divinely speaking. In other words, the Spirit of God moved upon them to say a thing. The holy men of God, they spoke as they were given utterance. All of this means, again, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit was necessary to speak what God had to be realized and recognized by his people. But then he says, had anointed me. And that's so important, because in Isaiah's day and time, only the king, the prophet, and the high priest were anointed to do God's work. The oil of anointment, the oil that they used for this anointing, was a special mixture, special recipe. Anybody and everybody else were forbidden to use this combination of oils. Why? Because when they were anointed, they were called the Lord's anointed. And only the priest, the prophet, and the king could be anointed like this? Well, Jesus was prophet, priest, and king. Now, he was anointed, but not like these prophet, priest, and king were. He was not anointed physically with oil and set aside to do a work. He was anointed by God, set aside by God, divinely designed by God to come down and do this work of salvation that none other could do. So his anointing was a divine anointing and not an anointing that God had approved of like he did with men. Are y'all hearing me today? Y'all mighty quiet. Have y'all eaten lunch already? All right, I just want to make sure you're with me. So when he talks about he has been anointed, his anointing was not with an oil like men, which signified a temporary anointing for an assignment. Jesus' anointing was a divine assignment and appointment for his entire life. That's why John 3:34 says he was given the Spirit without measure. So if he's given the Spirit without measure, what is the purpose for that? So that was for him to fulfill his entire ministry, all of the things that we're going to share with you that he had to do and more, and the anointing of the Holy Ghost was upon his life to accomplish all of those things. And listen, you don't need an endless supply of anointing if your assignment has an end. The Spirit of the living God gives you power to do what God and or Jesus Christ himself has assigned for you to do. When you are through with that assignment, your anointing ends. Your anointing ends. See, so when men were filled with the Holy Spirit, they had to get refills for everything they did. When I got filled to do this assignment and I completed this assignment, my anointing was complete. When God gave me another assignment, he refilled me again. I'm talking about old prophecy. I'm talking about in the Old Testament time. Every assignment required a new anointing, a fresh anointing, power to do what God wants to be done. Now, again, as I fast forward back into these times, Jesus prayed that God would send us another comforter, and the comforter would come and share with you all of the things that you need to do for the purpose of fulfilling what Jesus told you to do, us to do. Now, the differences you're going to find out as we go back through the study is God's Spirit now is designed to live in us. Now, there is still clearly a difference between being filled with the Spirit and baptized in the Spirit, as we talked about. And we're going to get to that and make that so clear, because I believe that is really a major confusion in the body of Christ concerning being filled with the Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and being baptized in the Spirit. But that's coming. I need to set the foundation so you'll understand that and won't be scared of that. Some folk are scared to be filled with the Spirit or baptized in the Holy Spirit because some folk have counterfeited the Holy Spirit and acted a fool. And people are scared the Holy Ghost is going to make you act a fool, make you do crazy stuff and all the rest of that and all of that. So they're scared of the Holy Ghost. They don't want none of that. They don't want to be foaming at the mouth and running around here and doing a lot of that stuff is demon activity. It ain't got nothing to do with the Holy Ghost. And when you know the word, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, then you'll know whether a person is operating in the Spirit of God or if they are counterfeiting. You know, you need to go sit down somewhere with that mess. That ain't the Spirit of the living God. What the Lord told me to tell you. What did he tell you to tell me? I can tell by what you got to say to me whether or not it came from God or whether you heard somebody else do that and that sounded good. I'm going to go tell somebody. The Lord said, told me to tell you. You better do this and this and this and this. And by the way, he said, give me $20. Well, don't you think the Spirit of the living God is going to send you to get $20 from me? He's going to tell me or confirm in me that he sent you? Now, if it ain't got nothing, we're going to learn all of that. Just stick with me here. So anyway, the anointing that was on Jesus' life had an unlimited supply of the power of the Holy Ghost. It would be equivalent to being baptized in the Spirit because of the power that Jesus possessed throughout his ministry. Now, let's look at the twofold purpose of his ministry and the Holy Spirit being upon that ministry. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, Jesus gives six things that he is under the anointing of the Holy Spirit to do. Three of them reference preaching. To preach the gospel to the poor. To preach the gospel to the poor. Now, one of the things that you must recognize is that the Pharisees and many of the religious leaders did not like the poor. They didn't like ministering to the poor. They didn't like the poor in their presence. They felt like the poor missed God, that they were poor because they did not adhere to scriptural truth or integrity, that they had done some wrong, that God was punishing them, etc., etc., etc. Their mindset toward the poor was messed up, and so they did not like the poor around them. And so really, in their day and time, those who were affluent and those who were upstanding and those who were the leaders were the ones who got to sit in the synagogue or the temple or the holy places and hear the word of God. The poor had to sit in the back, or the poor had to sit outside and get it as best they could, or get it in scraps and pieces. They didn't have the privilege of being ministered to. And the first thing the Bible tells us is that he was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. What does the word gospel mean? It comes from two words, God and spell, or speech. It was good tidings. It was good news. Jesus came to the poor to tell them that trouble won't last always, that this too shall pass. He came to encourage the poor that this is not a final state that you're in. Where you are now doesn't mean this is where you'll be in the future. I have deliverance for you with your name on it. I have blessings for you with your name on it. He came to preach good news to the poor. Listen, the poor were his best audience. Everywhere he went, the poor people ganged around him, as we call it. They thronged him. They were all piled up. They told one another, Jesus is coming. And poor folk came from everywhere to hear Jesus. Why? Because many of them could not get in the temple. Many of them could get in the synagogue, which was a lesser building, which was kind of like a community center where different things went on. It was not like the temple, but it was used for religious purposes. They could get in that place, but they couldn't, many of them, get into the temple like talking about. So they met Jesus on the road, on the highway, on the byway, underneath the tree, by the seashore, all the places they could find him to get a word from him. And I got news for you. If you want a word from the Lord, it don't matter where you get it from. You just need to get that word that'll change your life, that'll inspire your life in